Welcome to Living in the Light with Bible teacher Ann Graham Lotz.
Who do you think the Holy Spirit is? Who is the Holy Spirit to you? The Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. He is a divine necessity.
Thanks for joining us for Living in the Light with Ann Graham Lotz. Ann is beginning a series on the Holy Spirit, and you'll hear part one today. The Holy Spirit is called the third person of the Trinity, but does that mean he's somehow less than God the Father and God the Son? Well, Anne will explain why that's not so, and she'll help you gain a better understanding of this very important subject. Here's Anne with today's message.
There's a story told of a little boy who went to church, and he heard the preacher saying during the Sunday morning sermon that you could ask Jesus to come into your heart, and if you did, and by simple faith, he would come in and live inside of you. And the little boy listened to the rest of the sermon, and then afterwards, he was puzzled and a little confused over something, and he was walking through the parking lot, and he saw the preacher getting ready to get into his car, and he ran over, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I have something to ask you." And the preacher stood up, and he said, "Well, what is it?" And the little boy said, "I was confused about something that you said." And the pastor said, "Well, what was it? Maybe I can explain it to you." And the little boy said, "Well, I was confused when you said that Jesus would come to live inside of me if I would invite him to come in." And the pastor said, "Well, that's right." And the little boy said, "You mean if I ask Jesus to come live inside of me, he will come and live inside of me?" And the pastor said, "That's right." And the little boy said, "But wait a minute, isn't Jesus a man living in a man's body?" And the pastor said, "That's right." And he said, "Well, if Jesus comes to live inside of me and I'm a little boy," he said, "he'll be sticking out all over." And the pastor said, "That's right." Why is it when we look at Christians today, even so-called Christian leaders, we don't see Jesus sticking out all over? In fact, we don't see Jesus sticking out much at all, do we? And I think there may be two primary reasons for that, and this is simply my own opinion, but I base it on Scripture. One is an ignorance of God's Word, and two, it's an ignorance of the person of the Holy Spirit. Who do you think the Holy Spirit is? Who is the Holy Spirit to you? A lot of people, when I just led a retreat in Colorado, and one of the women came up to me afterwards, and she said, "Ann," she said, "I've always known that God is the Father, and He loves me. And I've always known that Jesus is my Savior," but she said, "I didn't know what to do with the Holy Spirit." And we reserve the Holy Spirit for benedictions. You know, "I dismiss you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Or baptisms, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And we treat the Holy Spirit as something that either belongs to charismatics, or we treat Him as somebody who is an optional extra in the Christian life. We don't quite know what to do with Him, and we really don't feel like He's necessary, but He's there, and who is He to you? The Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. He is a divine necessity. If you're going to live a life that's filled so that you can overflow, you must know about the Holy Spirit. You must claim Him for yourself. You must surrender to Him. You must live under His lordship. So I'd like to do a message just summarizing the highlights of who the Holy Spirit is based on John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, first of all, in the first few verses, I believe it's verses 16 and 17 primarily, we're going to look at who the person of the Holy Spirit is by examining His name. And before we look at the names that Jesus gives Him, I would like to point out in verses 16 and 17, where Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." And I emphasize the personal pronoun to point out that the Holy Spirit is a person. And you'd be surprised how many people don't know that. They speak of the Holy Spirit as an it. Have you ever heard Him called it? Or an influence, or a feeling, or an emotion? But the Holy Spirit is a person. He doesn't have a man's body, but He has a personality, will, emotions. The Holy Spirit is a person. In fact, we refer to Him as the third person of the Trinity. And when we refer to Him as the third person of the Trinity, a lot of people automatically assume He's third because He's least. But that's not true. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity because He is the third person of the Godhead to be fully revealed. I'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I know you can quote it. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Verse 2, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness filled the face of the earth, and the the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, hovered upon the face of the deep. And that Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. So he was actually revealed as early as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, but he's not fully revealed until you come to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you primarily have God the Father who is revealed. In the New Testament Gospels, it's primarily God the Son who is revealed. But beginning with the book of Acts and all the way through the epistles, it's primarily God the Spirit who is revealed. In fact, the book of Acts, have you ever thought Acts? Whose Acts? Is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third member of the Trinity, not because he's least. He is God, equal with God. He is no greater than God the Father, but he is no less than God the Father. He is God. And we call him the third person of the Trinity because he's third to be fully revealed. First, God the Father is revealed, then God the Son, then God the Holy Spirit. But God the Holy Spirit is fully God. Third person of the Trinity, but in John chapter 14, Jesus calls him by four names, and you know that in Scripture, names denote character. You'll find that when Jacob surrendered to the Lord, his name changed, because Jacob means self-reliant, and when he broke and let the Lord take over his life, his name was called Israel, which means one who has the power of God in his life, one who has surrendered to God. So the name actually denoted a change in his character. So we're going to look at the four names of the Holy Spirit in this chapter because they reveal the character of the Holy Spirit. The first one in verse 16 says, I will send you another counselor. And I want to pick up on just the word another and take that as one name. Actually, Jesus is saying that the Father will send you another me. And that word in the Greek, another, is allon, which means someone exactly the same as. So Jesus is saying that the Father will send you another me. Someone has described the Holy Spirit as Jesus without skin. You know that Jesus lives in a man's body. He's up in heaven. That's where Stephen saw him. Do you remember when Stephen was stoned and he saw Jesus in his man's body standing at the right hand of the Father? Then do you remember Saul on the Damascus Road and the blinding light and he saw Jesus in heaven? Jesus is in a man's body in heaven. But he said that when he would go back to heaven, the Father would send down someone exactly the same as himself. The same personality, the same will, the same emotions, would have the same purpose, the same thoughts, would be everything that Jesus is, but without his flesh and blood, without his physical man's body. Have you ever wished, especially maybe in a troubled time, that Jesus would come in his visible presence and sit down right beside you, and you could touch him, and he could put his arms around you, and you could ask him all of those questions? And you could say, Jesus, I don't understand this, and I'm having a problem with my son, and I don't know what to do over here. And Jesus could answer your questions and settle your confusion. And have you ever wanted to have him right next to you like that? The wonderful thing is that another Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, is Jesus to me and to you like that. As closer to us than if Jesus were sitting beside you, because of course we know he lives in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the invisible Jesus, if you want to put it that way. Jesus lives in heaven, in a man's body. It's the Holy Spirit who is Jesus in our midst. Jesus described him as another me, and then secondly, in that verse 16, he calls him the Comforter, or the Counselor. And in the Amplified Bible, if you were to look it up, you would find seven names that are translated from that one Greek word. And so I'm going to go down the seven names and give you the Webster's dictionary definition of each name and then give the application. If you can't get the dictionary definition, don't worry. Just if you want to copy down the names as I give them to you, and then you go home and look it up in Webster's and you can get your own application. But the first one is the word comforter. And Webster says that that is someone who relieves of mental distress. Now who here is mentally distressed? Are you worried? Are you troubled? The Holy Spirit is your comforter. It's his job to relieve you of that mental distress. Secondly, he's called counselor, one whose profession is to manage causes and to give advice. Now, what advice do you need? Are you in the midst of making a major decision, something involving your business or your children? The Holy Spirit's job is to give you advice. Helper, Webster says that means to furnish with relief or support one who is of use, who waits upon. You need a helper? Someone who just comes alongside and and helps you with your housework, helps you with your kids, helps you in your job, helps you in your church. Someone who just is alongside to be your invisible professional partner as you seek to live your Christian life. He's your helper. Intercessor, one who acts between parties to reconcile differences. Now, with what other Christian in particular do you have a difference? Now, I know this reconciliation means between God and us. And certainly the Holy Spirit is our intercessor, interceding with us before God. But it also means between each other. Is there another Christian with whom you have a broken relationship? I know you've never had a fight with your husband, right? If you've ever had a fight and you've had a break in your relationship, or maybe with a child. And especially if your husband or your child is a believer, how wonderful to know that it's the Holy Spirit in you and within that other person who can work in the both of you to reconcile the differences. And there have been times when I have prayed that the Holy Spirit living in my husband or living in my child would be stirred up and convict them or help them to understand something that I had done wrong or maybe had done rightly, but they misunderstood, and to reconcile the two of us together. Wonderful to think of him as your intercessor. Advocate, one who pleads the cause of another, very similar to being our intercessor, and that he can plead the cause, not only our cause with our Heavenly Father, but our cause with other people. And then the last one is my favorite. He's called our standby. And Webster's defines a standby as one who can be relied upon for regular use or in an emergency. Have you had an emergency lately? One thing about emergencies, you can't plan for them. They come so fast, and that's why they're an emergency. And it's, all of a sudden, you're in a crisis. Next time you're in a crisis or you're having an emergency, would you remember that it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to be your standby? That you can use him regularly or you can use him in a crisis, use him in an emergency. Isn't it wonderful to think of the Holy Spirit as another Jesus, but also our comforter and our counselor and our helper and our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener and our standby. And then the third name that Jesus gives for the Holy Spirit in verse 17 is the Spirit of Truth. And the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth because he always works through the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And the Holy Spirit's responsibility and his main job or mission or focus is to lift up Jesus. And he works through the person of Jesus Christ, but he also works through the written truth. And I usually look for an opportunity to say this for what it's worth, and you all don't trust me yet, so you may not take what I have to say, but you will never have power in your ministry. You will never be able to overflow in a way that bears much eternal fruit if you don't come to an inner conviction that God's Word is true. And one reason you can count on the fact that God's Word is true, because Timothy says every word of it was inspired by the Spirit of Truth. And his very name reveals he would never lie. He would never make a mistake. He would never err. Not only that, he is God. And the Spirit of Truth, who is God, is so powerful, he is able to control the minds and the pens of men so that what is recorded is accurate and you can trust it. He is the Spirit of Truth, and he works through Jesus. He works through the truth, which is God's Word, and he speaks to you and he speaks to me. I've had women in my class after a message come up to me and say, Ann, I know somebody has told you about what's going on in my home. And they can actually be angry and feel that somebody has betrayed a confidence and someone has come and whispered something in my ear so that I would say that during the lecture. And I have to tell them, I'm sorry, I know your name, I know your face, but I don't know anything about you. And what you heard during that message was God speaking to you. You see that the Spirit of Truth can speak through the word that he inspired, even as it's given out in a message like this, or as you read it in your devotional time or your study time, and can speak to you through it in such a way you think it was written just for you. And it almost, I don't want to use the term spooky, but it can really be so specific that it's almost eerie. And it's the Spirit of Truth speaking through the truth to your heart to make Jesus real to you and to do all sorts of things that we'll talk about in a minute. He is the Spirit of Truth. How wonderful to know that when we open our Bibles, it's written, it's inspired by one who is the Spirit of Truth and makes no mistakes. And we can come to it with absolute conviction and confidence. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, another me, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. And then in verse 26, he is called the Holy Spirit, the very name by which I've been referring to him. And his very name, Holy Spirit, means that he is separate from sin. He is holy. And you and I can never claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're not holy. And one of the first things the Holy Spirit does when he comes into you is to give you the desire to separate from sin. And then as you give your life to him and surrender your life to him and saturate yourself in the Scriptures, he gives you the power to be holy. But the Holy Spirit is holy. And his aim in your life is to make you holy and to separate you from sin. What sin did you used to commit? Almost without thinking. In fact, before your conversion, you didn't even know it was sin. And it didn't bother you. You didn't even blink an eye. After you were converted and the Holy Spirit came to live within you, you commit that sin and you can't stand it. What sin is it that didn't used to bother you and now you can't tolerate? And it makes you sick when you do it. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, making you holy. Changing even our whole way of thinking and our whole attitude towards sin. Not only revealing sin to us, but revealing to us a desire to separate from that sin in our lives. So the Holy Spirit is a wonderful person. Another Jesus, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know the person of the Holy Spirit? Let's think for a moment about his presence in our lives. In verses 18 to 20, Jesus says, I'll not leave you as orphans, I'll come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you will live. On that day, you'll realize I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. What day was he speaking of? When would he come to them in the person of the Holy Spirit? He was speaking, of course, of Pentecost. So the presence of the Holy Spirit has come historically at Pentecost. Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. And you know Passover was the Jewish feast day. And on this particular Passover, Jesus Christ was crucified. And 50 days after that particular Passover, there was another feast day called the Feast of Pentecost. It's the Jewish Thanksgiving. It's the Jewish Feast of Harvest. And on this particular Pentecost, there were 120 disciples who had been praying in the upper room. And they must have decided to go to the temple early in the morning in order to worship God and to keep the feast day as they were commanded to do from God's Word. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly they heard the sound as of a hurricane or a tornado moving through the temple area. But the air didn't move. It was just the sound of rushing wind. And then Peter looked at John, and John had a little tongue of fire on his head. And John looked at Andrew, and he had a little tongue of fire on his head. And Andrew looked at Bartholomew, and there was a little tongue of fire. And then they began to praise God in the languages representing the nations of the world that had gathered in Jerusalem for this feast. And I don't know how they knew, but they knew that God had fulfilled the promise of Jesus and sent down the Holy Spirit. It was an historical day on the calendar, never to be repeated. Like the crucifixion was one day and one point in time, never to be repeated. And Pentecost was a day never to be repeated when the Holy Spirit was given once and for all. In other words, up until Pentecost, which is recorded in Acts chapter 2, people have asked me, and was Peter saved before Pentecost, or was John saved before Pentecost? They were saved in the Old Testament sense. How were you saved in the Old Testament sense? People in the Old Testament were saved when they placed their faith in God's Word as it pointed to the cross through that sacrificial system. So that when they would go to the temple and make sacrifice for their sin and slay the lamb and take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar, and that would make atonement for their sins, when they would go through all the sacrifices and the ceremonies, they were expressing their faith in God's Word, not understanding really fully, but that it pointed to the cross. And it was their faith in God's Word through that sacrificial system by which they were saved. Okay, after Pentecost, so Peter was saved in that Old Testament sense up until Pentecost, from the day of Pentecost until now, you are saved when you look back to the cross, still your faith in God's Word, still your faith in God's Word as it relates to the sacrifice of God's Lamb on the cross. But coupled with that, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So that's the different thing in the New Testament. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That's why John chapter 1 verse 12 says you must receive Christ before you can become a child of God. So it's not only faith in God's Word that believes that Jesus is God's Lamb dying on the cross to take away my sin, but it's also faith that says, I invite Christ or the Holy Spirit to come live within me. And you are born again, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so from the day of Pentecost on, we are saved still by faith in God's Word as it points to the cross, but coupled with that, we have the rebirth experience or the experience of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit historically, his presence came at Pentecost. But secondly, the Holy Spirit's presence comes for you personally when he indwells you. In verse 17, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Notice the change of preposition. Then he says the Holy Spirit is with you, but he's going to be in you. Jesus was talking with Peter and James and John and his disciples, and he said, you all are with the Holy Spirit. How were they with him at that point? Because the Holy Spirit fully indwelt Jesus. So when they were with Jesus, they were with the Holy Spirit in a sort of indirect way. But Jesus is saying that the day is coming, and he was speaking of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come down, and he would no longer just be with you, but he would actually come to live in you. And there is a big difference between being with the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit in you. May I ask you, how would you describe your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Has the presence of the Holy Spirit come personally in your life because he's with you? And you can be in a meeting like this and be seated with other women who have received the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives within them, and you can feel his presence, you can feel his love, you can have access to some of his wisdom as the people around you share. But when you leave the room, you leave the Holy Spirit, because he was with you, because he was in them, but when you leave their presence, then he's no longer with you. Or does the Holy Spirit live in you? How do you get the Holy Spirit who has been with you to come in you? Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, if you ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit, he will. But you must ask. May I ask you, when have you asked the Father to give you the Holy Spirit? If you've never asked, how do you know he has? Now, I want to make something clear. If you ask Jesus to come live within you, if you invite Christ to come live within your heart or in your life, it's the same thing. Do you remember? Because Jesus is in a man's body, he can't possibly come into you. If you invite him to come in, he comes in, but in the person of the Holy Spirit, even if you misunderstood the terminology at that time. But may I ask you, have you invited Christ into your life? There are a lot of people, I think they go on something they did as a child, a feeling they've had, and they believe in Jesus, and they believe that he is their Savior, and they believe that he died for their sin, but they've never made a transaction with him. They've never chosen to repent of their sin and their self-centered way of life and surrender their lives to him and invite him to come live within them and take over the control of their lives. Have you ever done that? Can you ever remember having done that? And if you can't pinpoint a time in your life when you've done that, then possibly you never have. And I'm just going to challenge you to examine that very carefully, because I believe our churches are filled with women and men and children and older people who believe they've been saved and they never have been. They don't have the seal of the Holy Spirit in them because they've never asked. And they've just gone on sort of an indirect faith and loving God and loving Jesus and believing in him, but never that transaction whereby the Holy Spirit who has been with them comes to live within them. The Holy Spirit's presence came historically at Pentecost, but he comes personally for you at your salvation when you deliberately, by faith, invite him to come from outside you to come live within you. And verse 16 says, when you do that, it's permanent. The Holy Spirit will come to live within you forever. And I'm going to challenge you, if you're not sure that the Holy Spirit lives within you, then I would suggest that you make sure by inviting him to come into your life. And you say, Ann, I have done that so many times. Every time the pastor gives a sermon and he gives an altar call, I go forward. And every time somebody gives an invitation in my heart, I'm going through those points. And, oh, I've been born again and saved so many times, and I've prayed that prayer so many times. I want to suggest to you, you may not yet be born again because you haven't done it even one time by faith. Do you see, faith says, Jesus, I invite you come into my life in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, faith says, I believe you have come in. So I thank you for doing what I've asked. And faith doesn't keep asking. You keep asking, it implies that you didn't believe you did it. Invite Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit to come live within you and believe that he's come in. Take it by faith. Write the date down in your Bible so that you are sure the Holy Spirit who has been outside of you has come to live inside of you.
This has been Living in the Light. Please take advantage of all the free resources at anngrahamlotz.org. to help and encourage you in your walk with God and in your study of His Word. Join us here each week for Living in the Light.